Blog Talk Radio. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, can you guys hear me? We're going through a little slight difficulty today. Today's taking over the blog talk. So please bear with us. We're going through a celebration today, so if you can hear us, let us know. Some kind of way, we're on the air. The Burning Mic Show has previewed. Ladies and gentlemen, can you guys hear me? Give me an indication. Okay, so you guys can hear me. Kevin, can you hear me? We cannot hear you. And Mr. Danny Thomas is sitting on hold waiting to come in. There we go. That's the gentleman we need in the show. For some reason, I can't hear you guys. I think you got to press the headphone portion of it as well. Kevin, can you hear me? I cannot hear you. Guess I need to close this out and call back in. Let me call back in.
Hello?
There you go. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I've been on the line the whole time.
Who is that?
This is Dan Thomas.
Dan Thomas, how are you doing, brother? We're here to celebrate you. We've been going through a little bit of technical difficulties because Shaquille's power's out. So what we've been doing is trying to get the system up in different ways so that we can still celebrate you and get you on here. So I'm glad to hear your voice finally. I guess the only way I can do this is by me talking to you and finding out, because the gentleman at the controls is not seemingly able to be able to talk to you. So I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to ask you all the different things in the celebration of who you are and what you've been doing and how this consensus chain got started. So I would love to say welcome, Mr. Dan Thomas, to the Blog Talk Show over here at the Burning Mike Show. With Shaquille as the main guest host, my partner, me, DJ Chevy Chan, and also running the controls is DJ Showtime. So it might be a little difficult, and if it does come across a little difficult today, we'll have to reschedule and do it again a couple more times till we can get it all to work. The storms are knocking out everybody's phones, so that's what the big problem is. The internet, the phones, and everything's been knocked out. So now that you know, let me and you get it going on what we can do, because we are the only ones who are alive. How you been, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate everything you guys are doing, man.
Yes,
it's a beautiful thing, man. So I understand, man. This storm is no joke out here, knocking out power
and
stuff. So.
It's tearing up business out there. My phone wasn't working. I had to reset it and get it to work. But, you know, a couple of us can get through. You and you are the main two, so let's get it cracking. So,
all right, then.
We're celebrating your 50th anniversary as Consensus, and that is quite an achievement in any category of life, too. So let's just say that. I congratulate you, brother. Get into a few things that you would
Thank
like
you,
us to know about the history of Consensus.
Oh, well, you know, well, the group started in my garage back in high school. And, you know, like four brothers, Lewis McCall, Mike Cooper, and Michael Wilson was the original bass player at the time. And our goal was just to play funky music. You know, I had played in the band in junior high school with my family members. And to play for some family events and stuff like that and got paid for it. And I fell in love with music at that time. You know, I was in junior high school, so I was like 12, 13.
Wow. What a journey.
I've been playing since I was three, right? You know. But, you know, But they wasn't serious, right? So I said, when I get in high school, I'll find some serious musicians and get it going like that. And so the second day of school, I was in the band room, in the piano room, right, jamming. And Mike Cooper stuck his head in the door and said, hey, man, that's sharp. How you do that? You know, so I was showing him what I was doing. And we got to talk, and he said, you want to start a band? I said, yeah, let's do it. And he introduced me to Lewis.
So let me break in there for a second. See, you're playing at this point, so evidently you must have been playing when you were younger. What age did you start playing?
Oh, I started playing at 3 years old.
3 years old. Wow. And what instrument was that? That was the piano or the guitar?
The piano.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No. So you know, like my sister's a musical genius. When I was three, she was 16, Rose Scholar, at this university. And like she came out playing the piano, right?
Yeah.
And like,
did you
and like,
cut out whatever background noise is in your background so we can hear.
That's
you
on your end, man.
That's on my end. Okay, I don't
yeah.
got no noise over here, so that definitely is technical difficulty. There we go.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Much better. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to be able to hear you clear. This is for a lot of people to understand.
Yeah. So. So anyway, so like, so when I was doing it 3 years old, I was on the coffee table acting like I was playing the piano, right? I don't know, that's when my parents came. I don't remember this, but the way I rationalize it, I must have heard my mother on the phone. Hello?
Right.
Yeah? Okay,
yeah.
That cleared up. Sounds good.
Yeah, clear.
And,
yeah.
I, you know, just my own rationale, I think I... You know, I think I must have heard my mother talking about my sister, just one of her friends. And so I was just on the table acting like I was playing piano. They thought I had it too, right? So they would see each other. My mother and father say, maybe we got another one. So they had Sherman Clay Truck bring about four or five pianos, new pianos, to the house and told me to pick one.
Wow.
At 3 years old. Wow.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, you know, I just picked one. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing, you know.
Right.
And,
right.
But they were all new, so I couldn't go wrong, you know. So I picked one, and the next week I was in taking piano lessons, you know.
Right.
From the lady that played in church, she used to give lessons. Man, I hated it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was not impressed because... You know, everybody else playing baseball, hide and seek, hide and go get it, everything else. I had to go practice. Okay?
Right.
So I was not impressed with that. But
yeah, that's
I
how
stuck
it is
with
when you're young. You don't want to be practicing, you want to play with everybody else. So you gotta choose, make those choices like, am I gonna practice or am I gonna play with everybody? Nah, okay. So you had to practice and what came of that?
Yeah, so, you know, so I would practice and get teased and everything, but see, the thing was, I didn't want to let my parents down, you know. For some reason, I understood the money that they had put out, right?
Right.
You know, buying the piano and all this stuff. I said, man, I can't let this stuff go to waste, you know. And so I didn't want to let my parents down, especially my mother. And so I stuck with it. Even though I hated it, I stuck with it. Okay, and so as time went along, I got better. You know, my sister would come through. This is like when I'm in like sixth grade now. I'm about fifth grade, sixth grade. She'll come by and leave and tell me, boy, you can't play. You can't play nothing. And I get all mad and upset, tell my mother. She said, she just teasing. You know how sister does, you know. But, you know, like, she was right. I really couldn't play that good. Okay, and I knew it.
Right.
I mean, like, what came easy to her, I had to work hard at. You know, I had, like, practice every day, you know, when she just came out playing the piano. So, but I wasn't going to let her get the best of me, so I kept at it. And so eventually I started catching on, you know. It started catching on. You know, I used to do recitals. You know, I was classically classically trained. Doing Beethoven, Bach, all that kind of stuff. I was doing recitals, you know, every year and stuff. And and the teacher loved what I was doing, everything. It was cool. You know, it wasn't my type of music, but at the time, it was interesting. So by the time I was in, like, seventh grade, I said, okay, I'm cool. I can handle this on my own by now, you know. So I kept playing. I joined the junior high school band and played clarinet in junior high school band. That's the only thing I could get my hands on. That was the easiest thing for me to get my hands on, right? So I did that for about a year or so. I didn't like the clarinet either, so I moved up to a saxophone, okay? And I liked the saxophone. Saxophone was cool,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so,
that was a sexy instrument. You like that sexy track.
yeah, you know, so I'm doing that. I'm still playing piano on the side. And and so, like I say, by that time, we did start doing little house parties for the family and stuff,
okay.
Getting paid. I said,
right.
Oh, man, this is wonderful. I love this. So by the time I got in high school, I was ready to start a band.
Right.
And so
right.
10th grade in high school, I hooked up with Michael, Lewis McCall, Mike Wilson. We came over, we went to the house, and we put our little instruments together. I had, you know, and practiced for about 6 months and started doing talent shows. And we'd win. We were an instrumental band back in those days. We were doing, like, Western Government.
The talent shows, I would say.
Yeah, man. They said, you know, government-funded talent shows and stuff like that, which they don't have anymore, but that's another subject.
Right.
Don't have as much.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys start winning these talent shows. Get into a little bit more about you and this group that started to get created from this point, because I'm sure you were about 17, 18 now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that,
yeah, but,
is that around the time that the group was put together?
But the group formed 10th grade high school. It started off as a four-piece. We call ourselves Project Soul.
Okay.
10th grade. We started performing in 10th grade. We ended up, after we won a few talent shows, got better equipment, we started playing for school dances and all that kind of stuff, right? So...
Okay.
By the time, like you said, about 17, 18, I'm a senior now in high school, and we're like a seven piece band at that point. So we started off with four people, and we added a trumpet, Carl Fuller, and at that time I was playing keyboards and sax, okay, in the band.
Wow.
Okay,
right.
So once we got a trumpet player, we started doing more horn songs. So I suggested we got a horn player, right?
Right.
So I could just focus on my piano, you know. And so we did. We got a sax player, Maceo, and then during that time, you know, like Tower Power, Chicago, all those bands had the Memphis Sound had a bunch of horns, right? So we wanted to get a fatter horn section, so we got
would you
chosen
say
on.
Some of those things would be some of your influences. Those were your influences on how y'all wanted to put your band together.
Exactly.
Right. Got it.
Because at that time, you know, like, you know, Sly Stone was a big influence on us. You know, coming out of Vallejo, you know. We watched him very closely.
Let me ask you one question before we get too far into this. What are some of the names of the players? You said there's over seven players in the band. Let's go through the actual people who did this thing with you, went on this journey with you.
Okay. Mike Cooper was the
Mike
first
Cooper.
Person I met. And then Lewis McCall.
Okay.
And then Mike Wilson was the original bass player.
Original bass player, got you.
Okay, so when we completed high school, he graduated. We knew he was going to graduate and went to college, right? So we was able to find Cedric Martin that became our bass player.
Okay.
And then, well, before that, we had Carl Fuller on trumpet.
Okay.
And then last but not least was Felton Pilot on trombone, keyboard, and guitar. He played everything. But we actually, he had to learn to play trombone to join our band. So that's what we,
wow.
That's the instrumentation we were looking for. A three-horned.
Right.
Three-horned.
Right. So,
okay, so,
did we forget the drummer or we set him earlier?
Oh, no, that was Louis McCall.
So we got the drummer. So we got all the pieces. So now, what point in time is everything gelling when y'all ready to start making these albums?
Okay, we recorded our first song in about the 12th grade of high school. I wrote a song called Ebony, and I presented it to the band for us to record, because my intention was, all this is in my book that will soon be out. The title of the book is My Life and Fun Times with Confunction. So, a lot of this story will be in depth and more detail in my book, but I'm giving you the basic stuff right now for the interview.
That's right.
So, we'll talk about that more later on, but in the future. But I suggested the book. So the band did it, recorded. It was an up-tempo funk song with a bunch of horns, and then Felton. He had a ballad called I forget the name of it right now.
Let me interject right there. You guys are recording your first song. These are recordings in what year?
This was in probably 68, 70. No, that was like 68.
Right. 68,
that back in the day, that was 68, 69, because and so we recorded a 45, pressed it, vinyl, and we got on the radio and everything. We played it live, and people liked the songs. It kind of boosted our popularity. We became a recording artist at that time. We were independent, but we was recording, had stuff on the radio, KDIA and stuff, so we could charge a little bit more money, And that helped us get more kids.
At this point, we're going to take a little break and play a little music and let them hear what we're talking about, and then we're going to come back on the other side of the next song, and we're going to discuss a little bit more with Mr. Danny Thomas from Confunction, and just to let you know, we appreciate your fucking hearing all through these years.
Thank you, my brother.
So,
Hey,
Casey. 2001.
Welcome back to the Burning Mic Show. It's the Violator All-Star DJ Showtime. We got the Mighty Zulu Nation brother, Chevy Shank, in the building. How you feeling, brother?
Oh, pretty good, my brother. We been having these storms, and these storms have been driving us nuts, but we still going, we're going to work it out. We're going to work through the storm, around the storm.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to be a storm. How you doing, brother?
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. I'm getting busy over here, learning everything, learning a lot rather quickly, but it's all good. It's all good, brother.
Good.
We're celebrating 50 years of the incomparable, legendary, funky band Compunction. If you wasn't here earlier, yes, sir, if you wasn't here earlier, we have the brother, Mr. Danny Thomas. You can call in 845-277-9327. That's 845-277-9327. And if you got a memory about Compunction, anything you want to mention about Compunction, it's been 50 years. Shank, beautiful job on the interview thus far. I'm learning so much, brother.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know how we do it. And that brother is to be celebrated. You know, the band, the music, the period and time, you know, like he was telling us that they got started in 68, 69, around in that time doing their first recording. And, you know, I'm just thinking about my own childhood, how I listened to Compunction through my childhood, you know, and loved all the way through the years, how they were so funky. It's so amazing how much of it affects your life that you really don't realize until years later,
listening back to all of the songs that he created, him and his bandmates. But they were just a funky band, very smooth, very eloquent at what they did.
no doubt. Now, I got to ask you a question.
You can't say much, but this is just an incredible celebration of music and sound and creativity of people who just love to perform for people and write for people and create music for people. So,
no doubt.
You know, us at Coachazine, we are celebrating all of our musical legends. And so he's one of the first to come forth over here with our Burning Mike show to tell us about what it was like back then, what are the things they had to break through, you know, how did you get your record on the radio, how did you get the record recorded, you know, how did you get, you know, the band to gel and stay together, you know, things
yes.
like that. So at Coachazine is building on our foundation, and we're moving forward into the future. We're passing this legacy of all our music creators and songwriters and producers into the younger generation so that they can have an understanding of what they're doing, why they're even doing what they're doing. So, you know, that's the amazing component of celebrating someone for 50 years of music lifestyles. You know, they
that's
can tell
a long
you
time.
What you're going to go through. You know, they can tell you what it's going to be like. They can tell you what you're after, and you know, and those things are very important to young people who are saying, "Well, how do we get to 50 years?" You know,
right,
you got
right.
a long way to work. You're just getting started, you know. So that's
no
important.
Doubt.
It's important to get that information out there, brother. I applaud you for putting these things together as quickly as we can, knowing all the circumstances of what we've been going through.
It's my pleasure, brother.
I want to get back into some more of that funky stuff, and maybe we can get him back on the phone with us one more time just for these young people to understand how important our legacies are. And these are the legacies that are here with us. So we got to pay a lot of respect. We have these legacies, living legacies that, you know, you can go get some information from them. You can get some understanding. You can learn how to play an instrument. You can learn what it's going to take, you know, for you to have a career in this business. So, anyway, let's
Definitely.
Give it back to you. You go ahead and play some more of this funky stuff that Confunction did over the years, and we'll be back on the other side.
50 years, Confunction. Call in 845-277-9327.
What's happening to me?
We're back live on the Bird and Mike Show. It's Violator DJ Showtime, celebrating 50 years of compunction. We have Chevy Shanks from the Mighty Zulu Nation in the building, along with Mr. Danny Thomas from the Incomparable Compunction. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man.
Man, I am honored to have you on here, my brother. It is simply a pleasure. I have a few questions for you. Myself, being a hip-hop DJ, I am interested in knowing how you feel about the music of this generation.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. I believe, you know, to me, music is a expression of society, what's happening right now. And yeah. Even though, you know, some of the music theory, you know, and stuff is being lost, okay? But we're trying to keep it relevant, you know, trying to, you know, keep the music alive. But as far as, you know, the expression, you know, that is taking place with, you know, some of us are mad, which we should be, you know. But, you know, we just being real. To me, the music is very real, okay, the hip-hop. You know, and they bringing it. You know, I like the positivity rap.
For sure,
you know,
for sure.
Really, definitely. More because that's how it really originated. You know, back in the day. You know, with the last chorus and all that stuff. They're being relevant.
Yes, sir.
They're talking about economics and all that kind of stuff. You know, everything. So, you know, I think it's cool, man. I'm into it.
No doubt. Just from my knowledge, do you have a favorite artist that you like from this generation?
Oh, man. I'm from V-Town, my hometown. I think one of the baddest rappers out is E-40.
E-40 with the blank Westics.
Man, he's, you know, I'm from V-Town, man. He's one, you know, he's one of my favorite. But, one person, you know, by me being old school, right, you know. And
yes,
like,
sir.
When rap first came out, it took me a while to adjust to it. But when 50 Cent, the Two Live Crew, came out with Fuck the Police.
N.W.A., sir.
N.W.A.?
Yes, sir.
And Ice-T, he was cool, too. He was smooth rapper, you know?
Yes,
you know,
sir.
So those two got my attention along. V-Town came a little bit later after that, you know. But, those were the people that really caught my interest. But what's going on now... it's all good. You know, I like the female rapper, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about this new book that you got coming out and give us some dates and times so we can be looking forward to this, because we need to know more about the Compunction era. We just need to. It's so unique. When you listen to the intricacies of how the songs were put together, how the funky side of it is, you know, you look at the newer generation and they're trying to do some of these things, and this book might give them some information about how they can go about doing some of this and implement it into their music. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because that is the total purpose of the book, to try to share information, knowledge, wisdom that I have picked up in the 50 years of being involved in the business at a very high level, you know, and I just tell people how the group started, what it takes to start a group, okay,
yes,
for
sir.
One thing. But you'd be surprised how many people come to me and say, how you start a band, you know? And,
right.
And you know, once you think about it, you know, think it's like ABC, but it's not, because first of all, you got to find a group of people that have the same mindset.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Bam. That right there is a major component. you know, which we did. You know, back in high school, we was young. We all had music as a common denominator. We all loved music, you know.
And we
just was playing for fun. It wasn't no business. We wasn't really tripping on nothing. We were just, you know, after school, we got our little instruments, and we was playing music, right? Learning songs and stuff. I was musically trained, took lessons, stuff like that. So, but Mike Cooper taught himself how to play the guitar, you know?
Oh, wow.
So I have great respect for that.
When you said we were playing for fun, that's one of the key ingredients that young people, if they're very angry, how do they get to that fun component of playing music? You know, yeah, the business and the money, all that going to come, and you don't want to not associate with that. But, of course, to get back to the creative side that's coming out of you to create fun music that's, you know, something that everybody across the nation, the world can listen to and go, we really enjoy y'all's music from y'all's era. Then we move forward and we say, well, it's missing this, it's missing that. What is it missing in your terms of what they could be doing to make the music stronger, more fun, you know, something that they won't get so caught up in contrived music? I don't even know what the word is, but when you look at it, you say to yourself, you guys were so young, so energy driven, so happy, and all that came out of your music. How do we get the young people to do that again today?
Well, see, good question. And my theory is this. I believe, and my theory teacher, we would talk about this all the time, that music is a reflection of society. Okay? And I was hanging out with some of my music endeavors. I was even hanging out with Kool & the Gang back in the day in the early 70s. Just me and Kool and the Rhythm Section and stuff. We was in the hotel room after we had did a gig in Washington, D.C. at Low Palace. And we were listening to the tapes from the ministers and in their ministry. And there's one tape where this guy was talking about was for musicians. And he was saying that musicians so supposed to set the standard. We should be leaders of society. We should set the pace. We should set the example. Okay? And don't necessarily be caught up in the trend of society, but set the trend. Okay? So that's what writers, that's what musicians do for the most part. Like Marvin Gaye, he said, when he said save the children, man, he meant that, man. You know, he was telling the folks to save the children, man, because if you don't, the street going to take them, okay?
Yes, sir.
And we was caught up, you know, our generation especially, we were from the attack. The neighborhoods were flooded with drugs and everything. And
Danny, I'm going to have to cut in on you because we've got less than a minute left. We've got a minute 35 left, so I want to just celebrate you, this amazing book, this amazing career of 50 years of being an incredible musician, writer, father, leader of the community, and you still are. Your legacy, and we all in the world, the global world community,
yes, sir,
really all celebrate you amazingly for what you have accomplished, and hope that you can accomplish many more things and guide these youth and give them plenty of energy. We love your music. We love you as a person.
Yes, sir.
It's loving having you coming over to record with them and do your recording. So, guys, look out for new projects from Danny Thomas. Danny Thomas, we're going to let you close it out. You say what you feel. You got 42 seconds. Let's do it.
Oh, man, like I said, it's a blessing to me to be working with Close to Shane. My partner, Shaki, we go back a long way, okay? And
yes, sir.
And it's just been a blessing us working together. I'm so optimistic for the future. We have all kind of projects planned, you know,
right.
With the book. The book is going to be the first stepping stone. I have projects in the wings waiting to come out. So,
Thomas, we love you.
So, Free the Dream. That's
okay,
the next thing coming out.
Yes, sir, Mr. Thomas. It was an honor. This is the first time I've done this, so this was amazing for my first time. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, you're
doing a great job. I mean, so let's do it again.
Yes, sir. Let's do it again, brother.
I'm always available for you, brothers. Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it rolling. We're gonna have you in again, definitely another 50. Very shortly, you know, we'll set the time and we'll do it again. We'll have, because we had a whole list of questions that we didn't really get through because of some of the technical issues. But it was just a pleasure having you, man. Pleasure having you.
I concur.
Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm here for you. But anytime you guys get bored, want to talk, you need someone to fill a spot, call me up, man. I'm here.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Thomas.
Thank
you
so much.
No, we ain't calling you for that. We're calling you because we need you on the regular. we ain't bored. Trust me. You ain't going to allow us to get bored. You got something to talk about. You got something to work on. So we ain't going to never get bored. That ain't going to be the issue. So, yeah, it's a pleasure having you. We'll have you back right away. You probably will be the next guy we have do it again. Maybe next week, even if so, because, you know, we got to get these dials down. This is our first time even seeing the dials. So,
yeah.
All right.
I think I'm acclimated, though. I think I'm acclimated pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
There you go.
It's not that difficult. Yeah, so that was a good thing. I enjoyed having you.
Right.
I'm glad you were patient with us and stayed with us throughout the whole thing. The interview sounds very good, too. So from here, we'll be able to, you know, take some notes and look at what we can do a little bit better. We're good. I like it.
Okay. All right.
What you think, Shelton?
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it. Not loving my situation, but I'm loving this. This is beautiful. So let's do it again.
Michelle.
Thank you for having us. Okay, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna hold you up. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Thomas.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Yes, sir.
Nice job, retards.
shit. Sarah, you're trying to see me off?
No, I never touch it.
Not, is it muted or is it not?
It's low, turned down low.